I'm Jamie Rickard.
And I'm Tracy Sullivan, and we're the career coaches of Fisher.
So today, Trace, we're talking about getting ghosted in the job search. Yes. And what to do when you feel like you're not getting called back from your applications. And this is sort of a throwback to your event last month, which was an in-person workshop. And we thought it was really important to kind of bring this topic to the listeners so that if you missed it, you have an opportunity to hear what to do.
Yes. So I hear this from a lot of job seekers across the board. Frustration over never hearing back or having a really great interview and then never hearing anything. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot. In 2023, 40% of job seekers reported getting ghosted after a second or third interview.
Which is so, it just makes you feel like, why didn't I hear back? I've already met with this person right. two or three times.
And it's that spiral of what's wrong with me?
Right.
And that doesn't even include how many people apply for jobs and feel like they're being ghosted when they apply and they just hear nothing back.
Right.
35% of job seekers said an employer didn't even acknowledge their application. And that's referring to online, like that little email yes. you get that says, we've received your application. Ironically, I just found this interesting is that 78% of job seekers said that they had actually ghosted a prospective employer.
Yeah, that percentage seemed pretty high to me too, but I kind of get it if yeah. you applied to a lot of jobs and then somebody reached out that maybe you weren't that excited about and you just let it go. But right. I can't imagine it, but I get it. I can see it.
Or you had an interview and it just didn't feel right and then you didn't like bother to close it out and right. say I'm no longer interested. I think that that's really important just to quickly talk about because that goes back to networking. You never know where that person is going to be next month, next year. And people remember, so maybe that company wasn't a good fit for you, but the recruiter that you met with, they might have known that the company was like not a great place and right. that's why they left.
Right.
But now they're going to remember like Jamie Rickard, I remember I interviewed her and she just blew me off.
Yeah, yeah.
So just be mindful.
Yeah.
Be considerate. Be mindful.
Exactly. I think one of the things we should talk about is why this ghosting situation happens from the employer mm-hmm. perspective, because I was just getting emails even this week from students who had said very similar, like I reached out to this company or I applied and I've heard nothing. And, you know, why does this happen? One thing I could say right away is if it's a really big company and they have a lot of applications, that is probably one of the number one reasons why yeah. you might be theoretically getting ghosted because they have so many applicants applying. So if it's a global or national company, mm-hmm. that is more likely.
And keeping in mind, like you might think you're being ghosted, but I just was talking to somebody that got an interview from a job they applied to 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Might be just delays in the process.
Yeah. That's another reason, too, is that you might have a really great interview and they say, okay, we've got a couple more interviews. We're looking to make a decision by next week. I always say add at least 2 weeks to whatever yes. they tell you because best intentions might be in their mind, but other things come up. Other people impact their decision or they're sick or yes. they're out unexpectedly or the person that has to approve the hire is out or things, you know, budgets change.
Yes.
Things are put on hold.
Right. Yeah. Staffing changes is a big one too. Just that priority shift or the person that was mm-hmm. responsible for interviewing has moved on. So now the person in charge has to take over. So I do think we want to take away sort of that personal feeling of rejection.
Yes.
And that it might not be anything to do with you. It really could be an internal issue.
Usually it's nothing to do with you. Right. And a lot of times, like when those things happen, they're not closing out the position. So they're in a holding pattern, hence all their applicants are, because they don't want to say like the position's on hold or, you know, it's going to be another few weeks. They just kind of are waiting because they don't know either.
Right. And we also should talk about the internal candidate piece because
you
might do very, very well in an interview and it has nothing to do with your performance, but they might have already had somebody working at the organization who applied for the position as well. Mm-hmm. And if they applied and did also equally as well, they might be going with an internal candidate because of just ease of training and, you know.
Yes. And I tell this story a lot in my presentations because this is like a trauma that sticks out in my head where I had interviewed, it was actually actually my first like 4-year college for a position in HR. And I was trying to transition into that from where I was. And I never feel confident in interviews. I had the best interview. I killed it. They brought me back in to meet with like all the VPs and deans. And it was a beautiful thing. I was magic.
You're like, I'm nailing it.
Yes, exactly. And then I got a call a few days later and they said, we decided, you know, we had an internal candidate. Mm-hmm. You were great. You are our number two choice, but we just have to hire this internal person. And from that moment forward, one of the questions I always ask in interviews is, do you have any internal candidates?
I think that's a great question because then you know it's not necessarily a result of your mm-hmm. performance. It could be just, again, they have to think about their ROI and if they're willing to go with an outside candidate that they have to train yeah. or someone that they already have who knows and is familiar with the systems and processes.
Yeah, I would say it's very rare they don't go with the right. internal candidate.
Right.
But that whole ghosting process just results in a lot of internal strife for us as Absolutely. Far as how that makes you feel. I felt like a failure. I actually felt silly for thinking I had nailed the job. Rejection always stinks.
Totally. And I think when you're in that sort of, I don't want to call it a spiral, but maybe it is.
It is a spiral.
It might defray your, or at least take away from, maybe I shouldn't apply to anything anymore. It's like a waste of time. But yeah. I think one thing that I've heard from other people who've had similar experiences is that getting an interview and going through the process is just such great experience. Even if it doesn't work out in your favor, I do think that it's worth going to the interview and getting that experience because it can help you for the next opportunity.
1,000%. The more you interview, the better you get.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we're not hearing, when we're feeling frustrated, we just tend to overthink. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? And sometimes you just kind of like stop.
Yep.
Like you said, like, oh, why should I bother? Or it becomes inaction, so to speak.
Right.
And you don't want to do that because then you're never going to get a job.
Right.
Like,
well, it's like that.
What does Michael Scott say?
What?
If you miss 1,000% or 100% of the shots you don't take.
But it's really Wayne Gretzky.
Michael Scott.
So let's think about what we can do about that. Because right. I think instead of sort of getting into this box of I failed, you almost take that negative energy into the next interviews too. Like if you let it consume you, now it's this is a hassle. I'm mm-hmm. burdened by this. And sadly, like that affect will sort of carry you into the next experience. And
self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes. Because you're feeling like already, like, why am I wasting my time? And that comes across.
Totally. The energy is, that's a killer.
I mean, job search as it is so isolating and lonely that it's hard to keep that positive attitude, to keep your spirits up. That's why it's good to, like, take advantage of things like having a buddy or mm-hmm. just, you know, getting out and networking. But there's a lot of things you can do to kind of overcome.
Right.
Ghostbusting
101. Yes.
First and foremost, get your resume checked because the best way to kind of make sure that you're doing the right things is making sure that you're starting with the right tools. So, you know, your resume, the goal is to get you an interview. If you're not getting interviews, get your resume checked.
Yeah, because that's where maybe the first portion of the ghosting can happen. Right. So if you're not using the right keywords from the job description yeah. or they have an internal system that filters resumes and you're not using keywords for that job, that's an automatic out. So let's try to prevent that at the start.
Mm-hmm. Cover letter might be necessary.
Right. So if you're thinking a job in nonprofit, education, or you might be moving out of the area and you want to submit an application, but they're seeing a resume from someone in Rochester, New York, and you're applying to somewhere in Florida, they're going to be like, well, is this person really serious about this job or did they just submit this to submit? So having a cover letter can be very, very helpful in those situations.
Yeah. And I know like there's different opinions across the board. I am a big fan of the cover letter because I feel like even if somebody doesn't want it or doesn't want to read it, the majority of people, like it could help you. So anything that's going to help you, you should take advantage of.
Yeah, my motto is, if it's poorly written, leave it out. If you don't think that that cover letter is absolutely perfect, stellar, speaking to that exact position, to that exact employer,
correct,
then I wouldn't even include it.
No.
So that's where I'm sort of like, if you don't think that it's good enough, I wouldn't have a cover letter for every single thing.
So then I take the other side of the coin of, you better have a good cover letter. You better be making the effort to write it well, have the proper format, align it to the job, because that's how you can kind of elevate your application. Because employers will say, well, this person has great writing skills. Oh, I can see why they're interested in the job or the company, and I like that.
And more often than not, I think because a cover letter takes a lot of extra effort, students and frankly, full-time professionals do not spend enough time on it. And it looks like you just put plug and play, Mad Libs, plug in the company name, plug in the position title. Mm-hmm. And employers can tell that. They can see right through a more fake cover letter, which is why I think, you know, I'm more, if you're going to write one, you've got to write it well.
Absolutely. LinkedIn, is it updated?
Or nope, no dusty profiles.
Get rid of those cobwebs.
That's right.
You know, if it still says student at St. John Fisher University, change it.
Right. They're gonna look at that and say, yeah. I mean, I've already had employers tell me this week that they will look up a student's LinkedIn profile to see, you know, again, their photo, see what information they put on their profile. And so they are looking.
Before they call you for an interview.
Yes.
So that could be an interview breaker if it's not updated and looking good.
Absolutely.
Use job alerts. Yeah. So create job alerts instead of spending all your time searching. Create job alerts so that they come to you. You can do it on Indeed. You
Handshake.
Can do it on LinkedIn. You can do it on Handshake. Even larger employers like U of R, you can do that.
Absolutely. Basically, any organization that's using some sort of job search or career management tool is going to have alerts set up, and you can set them up very easily. Mm-hmm. And they're really not overwhelming. I mean, if you're looking at a job, you have to think about the time that you need to input into a job search. And I know this is shocking to most people, but we always treat it like you're taking a 3 to 4 credit course. It is a lot of time commitment. And I think when you go in with that expectation, it won't be as shocking that you're spending this much time on it. It shouldn't be that easy.
It's I wish it job were. Search because
that's
it's
such
work.
A job.
Yes, it is a job. Looking for a job is a full-time job. So now follow up. Like, this is another way you can kind of network, but also combat the ghosting, is doing some appropriate follow up. And, you know, I always say there's a fine line between appropriate follow up and stalking.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You want to make sure that you're on the right side of that line.
Exactly. And again, been getting a lot of emails lately about follow-up for these exact reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't hear back, but I'd like to sort of gently nudge, and I think that is the appropriate strategy. When you are reaching out with a professional email, if we're going to talk about email, I do think that's the appropriate way to reach out. Again, keep a nice subject line that's professional, not... I am trying to think of something that's like super unprofessional, like, excuse me.
Hey, hey there.
Hey, or I need an
job.
Update. but clear and professional subject line. And when you do have your greeting, make sure it's using the interviewer's name. Mm-hmm. So if you did meet with them already, use their name again. If it's just an application that you've submitted, again, try to find the recruiter so you can actually email a direct person to ask. And express gratitude. So, you know, thank you for the opportunity to interview with the organization. And that way you're setting up the context that this is still, you're still very interested. But if you haven't, if this is just an application you haven't heard back from, you can always say, you know, my name is, I recently applied.
On this day.
Exactly.
And I'm just, you know, following up on the status of my application and if the position's been filled.
Yeah. And another thing too, that, and I think this is a stress factor for students, is you might have another offer. And so you're really interested in the company that hasn't gotten back to you, but you already have an offer in hand. You don't want to let that one go in order to wait for that one that you haven't heard back from. So it's also okay to say in an outreach email like this, you know, I have received another offer. However, this is my number one choice. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be able to see this through, you know, to the end, but, you know, I wanted to know when I'd be able to have a decision in the event that you're sort of at the final stage.
Absolutely. And then in professional closing with your contact information, time frame is something that I get a lot of questions about. Like, yeah. I've had people that's like, I interviewed yesterday, and it's like, no, that's a thank you note.
Yeah.
And if they're telling you they're going to make a decision by the end of the week, don't email at the end of the week.
Right. You need to give them a little extra time, mm-hmm. for sure. So how do we sort of give that encouragement to maintain motivation?
Well, first and foremost, you do have to stay positive, which I know easier said than done, right. But that's where you utilize your support systems, and you know that, like we said, it is a process. So you should be applying for a lot of jobs, mm-hmm. not one, and then waiting.
Right.
But definitely stay positive. Don't internalize it. Set goals for yourself. Like, I always tell people, track your search, yes. create a checklist. It helps you feel in control. Like,
totally.
What am I going to do today? Like, yes, job search is work, but you shouldn't be spending 8 hours a day on it.
No.
So it should be like, these are three things. I'm a big fan of the 3 to 5.
Yes.
3 to 5 things I'm going to do today, whether it's I'm going to apply to, you know, this specific job, I'm going to do a follow-up with this one, and I'm going to try and set up an informational interview.
Right, because if you look at it from the perspective of, I have to do all this stuff, we talk about the mountain. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at the mountain and I've got to get to the top, how can we do a little bit today to get us closer to the top?
Exactly.
Of the mountain?
Learn from experience. That goes back to, take advantage of all interviews. Even if you're really not interested, right. in a job, still go to the interview.
Practice makes perfect.
Exactly. And no doesn't mean never. So maybe they say, like, not right now, and then you apply for another job, and that shows that you're interested, you're really interested.
I actually like that you said that, because there are times when I think you get rejected, mm-hmm. by an employer and you think, well, I'm never going back there again. They, like, hated me. And that is absolutely not the case.
Right.
It might just be, maybe you need a little bit more growth, right? Maybe you need a little bit more experience. Maybe you're a sophomore and they are looking for a junior. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're not a good enough candidate. Don't give up with that organization yet.
Absolutely. And create a support system. Right. You know, there's other people looking for jobs. I used to work with adults, and we would hold what were called job clubs, or, mm-hmm. you know, career clubs. And it was amazing, because some people would be like, well, I'm competing with these people. It's not a competition.
No.
Like, you would hear about other opportunities. It's a great networking way, and it helps keep you motivated. Like,
yeah.
just to have somebody say, hey, did you ever apply to that job?
And I mean, ultimately, we're here for all of our students to support,
yes.
in this process. We've been doing this a very long time. Like I said, this week alone, I've had several of these outreaches to me about what do I do. And so I'm glad that that is something that students are coming to us for, but I know that more students need to know that we are a resource for that.
Absolutely. Like, just schedule an appointment. Like, sometimes it's just, I met with somebody and I literally, it was 10 minutes and I said, yep. you are doing all of the right things.
Right.
Your resume is good. You know, you've gotten interviews. You just have to stay the course.
Exactly.
And that to them was just a relief.
Yeah. And if we can provide that, we've done our duties.
We've done our job. So this wraps up today's podcast. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, and TikTok. We have a TikTok.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do I follow you on TikTok?
You better. It's very good. We've got some good content up there. So go on
TikTok. It's not coming in my algorithm right now.
Well, we need to work on that, Trace.
I'm still on that One Tree Hill Vampire Diaries decision making. And connect with us on LinkedIn. We want to hear from you. Send us ideas for future topics, questions, feedback. Email us at ccap@sjf.edu.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We are the Career Coaches of Fisher, here for your career.